an Osho talk. Zen, the solitary bird, cuckoo of the forest, number 13.
Umon asks the head monk, "What sutra are you lecturing on?" "The Nirvana Sutra," replied the monk. "The Nirvana Sutra has the four Nirvana virtues, hasn't it?" asked Umon. "It has," the head monk agreed. Picking up a cup, Umon asked, "How many virtues has this?" "None at all," said the monk. "But ancient people said it had, didn't they?" said Umon. "What do you think of what they said?" Umon struck the cup and asked, "You understand?" "No," said the monk. "Then," said Umon, "you had better go on with your lectures on the sutras." On another occasion, a monk said to Umon, "I ask you, master, to deliver a learner from darkness and illusion quickly." Umon said, "What is the price of rice in Joshu?" A philosophical monk asked Basso, "What teaching does the Zen sect propagate?" Basso returned the question and said, "How about you?" The monk answered, "I am lecturing on as many as 20 different sutras and sastras." Basso exclaimed, "You are a lion's whelp, indeed." The monk said, "You are very kind." Basso breathed out strongly. "That's the real thing," cried the monk. "What do you mean, real thing, may I ask?" said Basso. "It's the lion emerging from its den," said the monk. Basso was silent. "That also is the real thing," exclaimed the monk. "How so?" asked Basso. "It's the lion entering his den," said the monk. "How about when the lion is neither coming out or entering?" asked Basso. The monk was silent. He began to take his leave and was going out of the door when Basso called him, "Oh, monk!" The monk turned round and Basso said, "How about it?" The monk made no response, and Basso exclaimed, "O man of little sense."
Manisha. Before I enter into the beautiful world of Zen, I have to make some statement about the ugly world that surrounds us. Prem Hasya has been on a world tour with a project of creating the atmosphere amongst scientists, artists, painters, musicians of a world academy, which belongs to no race, to no religion, to no nation, and whose concern is absolutely the whole world. Just Today, she is back and she reported to me that she had gone to see the chief editor of the German newspaper, Die Welt. The journalist who has taken her was immensely interested in the project and wanted to write a detailed article about it. He could see the potentiality of a world academy of creative science, art and consciousness as a defense against those who are preparing to destroy the whole world in a nuclear warfare. But the journalist, of course, wanted to ask the permission of the chief editor. Coming out of the chief editor's room, he told Hasya that the chief editor thumped the table and shouted, "I am a Christian and I will protect the fatherland." When one of his journalists said he wanted to write a positive article about Bhagwan, "What kind of Christianity is this?" Thumping on the table is showing your immense violence. It does not indicate any relationship with Jesus, who said, "Love your enemies, even love your neighbors." Unfortunately, he forgot to say that love your tables. They are absolutely innocent. Thumping the table and calling himself a Christian are contradictory. Either start learning drum beating or be a Christian. To be a Christian in its essence is a message of love. And unfortunately, his famous newspaper is called The Well. In English, The World. And exactly for that purpose, Hasya has gone there. How to save the world from the destructive politicians all around, all over the world. Right now there are 5 nations with nuclear weapons. By the end of this century there will be 25 members in the nuclear club. Every day the possibility to save the world becomes less and less. He should resign immediately from his newspaper He does not deserve to be the chief of a newspaper called the world. And he also seems stupid in calling that I will save, I will protect my fatherland. Only German stupidity is calling their country fatherland. The whole world calls their country motherland. Because every child is born out of the mother, not out of the father. The earth is our mother. That seems to be a more symbolic and sensible proclamation than to call one's country fatherland. It is male chauvinistic. He is neither a Christian nor a gentleman. And he is the chief editor of the famous German newspaper, The World. I am going to send Hasia again. Go directly to the chief editor, and if he hits the table, hit on his head. He is fast asleep. He needs to be awakened. These are the people who are going to destroy the world. He talks about protecting his fatherland. And the whole purpose of World Academy is to bring senses to you that now nations are out of date. Either the whole humanity or no humanity. The alternative is absolute and categorical. Either we can protect all, but then we have to drop our old prejudices. What is to be an Indian, or to be an English, or to be a German? Accept a prejudice. Protecting prejudices. Protecting your darkness that you have inherited from the past, these are the people who are going to destroy the world. The humanity in general has to be made aware that these people should not be in positions of any power. These are fascists. Hidden enemies of mankind. I have taken the issue particularly because there is a German photographer who is going to take the message to Germany. But anyway, whether he takes the message or not, Asya, as my international secretary, is going to hit this son of a bitch. Who thinks he is a Christian. And all my sannyasins who are German should remember it is their duty, their responsibility to go around such people and force them to change their mind that now there is no Germany and there is no India and no China and there is no need of any nation. That is the only possible way we can save this beautiful planet. Otherwise, politicians are determined to bring a third world war. The name of his newspaper reminded me of the name of President Truman. He was responsible for dropping atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and his name was Truman. Could not America find an untrue man to destroy more than 200,000 people within 3 minutes? Now this fellow is editing a newspaper called The World, but his mind is very small, very tiny. Just German prejudice. Deep down, there is still Adolf Hitler in his thumping on the table. By the way, I want you to remind also that Jesus was never a Christian. He lived as a Jew. He was born a Jew. He died on the cross as a Jew. He had never heard even the word Christianity. The very word Christianity came into existence after 300 years It came because the Hebrew Gospels were translated into Greek and the Hebrew word Messiah becomes Christ in Greek, and because of this translation, the whole religion has become Christian. Otherwise, Christianity is nothing but a projection of Jewish mind. They are followers of a Jew. And it is a strange fate of history that they have been killing Jews. Sigmund Freud, himself a Jew, perhaps got this idea from this phenomenon that somewhere in the past man has created a situation in which the father was killed, and the guilt of killing the father has created God. It looks very far-fetched, but there seems to be reason of killing fathers if they are too dominant and go on living like the Polakpo. Now somebody is bound to suit him. How long you can tolerate? He has forgotten to die. All the cardinals are waiting like vultures on the trees when this idiot dies. But there seems to be no sign. Every week check and he is perfectly healthy. Perhaps in such a situation, the son has no chances to assert himself, but it is a psychological myth, although significant. But as far as Christians are concerned, they are killing Jews who are their fathers, who were the father of their Messiah, Jesus. And it is very strange that the people who call themselves Christians are the cause of the most blood shed on the earth. And the whole approach of Jesus is of love. He calls even God just love, a strange love, a strange idea of love, and then crusades, burning, living human beings, all out of love, just for your sake. And whenever violence is done for your sake, it is the ugliest. It does not leave you even the chance to protest. You are being killed so that you can enter into paradise. It is strange that people are sending others to paradise while they don't commit suicide themselves. Who is preventing them from going to paradise? They have to stop this public service of sending others to paradise. First, they should go. If every Christian goes to paradise by committing suicide, I think perhaps many will follow. That will be the right way. Particularly this chief editor of the world has to commit suicide on his table. And when my German sannyasins who are here reach back, go to his office continuously, harass him, bring him to his senses. Because it is not a question of single person. This is the mind of all politicians, all so-called great journalists, and this attitude is immensely dangerous. We have to clean off all these prejudices if we want to live in peace, in love, in joy, in ecstasy, in dance under the stars. This planet has a certain responsibility, because this is the only known planet where life has come to consciousness, to humanity. It is suspected that there may be life on some other planets. The universe is vast, but up to now, although we can span the universe almost trillions of miles, light years away, we have not found a single instance of life anywhere. That makes this planet immensely responsible. Existence has struggled to bring you to such a position from where you can take the last jump and be a Buddha. Those who are trying consciously or unconsciously to destroy this universe are destroying the very hope of existence. They have to be exposed to the people without any mercy. Manisha has asked for this evening's delicious dinner of Zen. Umon asked the head monk, "What sutra are you lecturing on?" "The Nirvana Sutra," replied the monk. "The Nirvana Sutra is one of the most precious compilation of Gautam Buddha's sayings. But even by reciting and lecturing on the sutra, you do not become a Buddha yourself. Umon said, "The Nirvana Sutra has the four Nirvana virtues, has it not?" "It has," the head monk agreed. Picking up a cup, Umon asked, "How many virtues has this?" "It may look absurd to any outsider who does not understand the language of Zen. But Amun is saying that if Nirvana Sutra has four virtues, then everything has the same virtues, because all things belong to the same existence. Nirvana Sutra cannot be separate from existence. He is bringing the existential to an intellectual scholar. The monk said, none at all. But ancient people said it had. Did not they? Said Amun. What do you think of what they said? Amun struck the cup and asked, you understand? No, said the monk. Then said Amun, you had better go on with your lectures on the sutra. Nirvana is not your destiny. Just lecturing on Nirvana. The way he has broken the cup and struck it, is a significant gesture which means that unless you destroy your so-called mind like this cup and throw them away in pieces, you will not be enlightened. You will not know the taste of Nirvana. So please get out and go on lecturing on the sutra. It is not your destiny to be a Buddha. On another occasion, a monk said to Amun, I ask you, Master, to deliver a learner from darkness and illusion quickly. Amun said, what is the price of rice in Josu? The monk was coming from Josu, a village. Ordinarily, you will not see any connection between the question and the answer. If you can see it, there will be a great illumination. Amun said, don't be bothered about getting rid of illusion and darkness. First, be aware of the present. What is the price of rice in Josu? You are coming from Josu and you are not even aware of the price of rice. And you are talking great questions. How to get from darkness to light and quickly. A philosophical monk asked Vaso, what teaching does the Zen sect propagate? Vaso returned the question and said, how about you? He did not answer the question in the ordinary way, understood and accepted way, but he has answered by asking, how about you? Don't bother about Zen, sect and its philosophy. You are the point. If you know yourself, there is no need to know anything about Zen. If you know yourself, there is no need to know about anything. Knowing yourself is finding not the way, but the goal itself. The monk answered, I am lecturing on as many as 20 different sutras and sastras. Vaso exclaimed, you are a lion's whelp indeed. The monk said, you are very kind. He thought that Vaso has appreciated him because of his scholarship of different scriptures and different sutras. Vaso breathed out strongly, that is the real thing, cried the monk. What do you mean, real thing? May I ask, said Vaso? It is the lion emerging from its den, said the monk. Vaso was silent. That also is the real thing, exclaimed the monk. How so? Asked Vaso. It is the lion entering his den, said the monk. He must be well acquainted with the Zen and its heritage, but he has never, it seems, to have come in contact with a real Zen master, a lion really. He does not know about Vaso. How about when the lion is neither coming out or entering in? Asked Vaso. This is something to be remembered. When the lion is not going out, neither coming in, but just is. No coming, no going, but just being. The monk was silent. He could not understand. This can be understood only by one who knows not the scriptures, but his own being, silent, utterly peaceful at ease, neither going out nor coming in. The monk was silent. He began to take his leave and was going out of the door when Vaso called him, ah, monk. The monk turned round and Vaso said, how about it? The monk made no response And Basu exclaimed, "Ah, man of little sense, perhaps the men of little sense have grown too many in the world. The grandeur of a line has disappeared. You are a line when you are yourself. Utterly centered, integrated, otherwise you are just a man of little sense, maybe useful for the marketplace, but not capable of entering into the beatitude of existence." Ryokan's verse runs, "In the entire 10 quarters of Buddha land, there is only one vehicle. When we see clearly, there is no difference in all. No difference in all the teaching. What is there to lose? What is there to gain? There is nothing to lose and nothing to gain if you can be centered in your consciousness. Suddenly you will see you are eternal and immortal. Even if the body is burnt on a funeral pyre, you will not be burnt. Your life principle is immortal. You cannot lose your life and you cannot gain it either. It is there since eternity, and it will be there till eternity. All other religions look very childish in comparison to Zen. They are talking about stupid things, mediocre things. Christians are talking continuously about the virgin birth. That Jesus was born to Virgin Mary. For 18 centuries their theologians are concerned about this. It seems to be strangely a tradition of sex maniacs. What does it matter whether Jesus was born out of poor Joseph or from the Holy Ghost? What difference does it make to you? In fact, if he is born out of Holy Ghost, your Holy Ghost becomes unholy. He has destroyed the virginity of a poor girl. And Christianity says that God, Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ are all one. Three sides of one reality. Just look at the absurdity of it. God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, Holy Ghost, the real Father, all are one. At least one has to be uncle. And if Holy Ghost corrupted a virgin girl, that really means God also is involved in it. For 18 centuries, Christianity has been continuously discussing as if it is of much importance whether Holy Ghost really corrupted and why you are so insistent that Jesus should be born out of a rape. What is the interest? All these theologians seem to be sex maniacs. Just few days before, the Polish Pope declared that it is our fundamental principle. Christianity cannot be Christianity if Jesus is not born out of a virgin woman. We cannot drop this idea. Don't drop, carry it. Make few more virgins pregnant. Anyway, you are against condoms. But it seems after Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Ghost both have started using condoms. Condom is a religious symbol now. And if you look at other religions, the same is the situation. Mohammedans say that Muhammad went to heaven sitting on his horse. Horse also went direct. Now this is their fundamental religion. If you ask it, you are asking for danger. But what does it mean whether he was riding on a horse or on a donkey or on a Rolls Royce? What does it matter? What religion has to do with it? Zen is not concerned about all these things at all. It is concerned with the very essential, you, and everything is nonsense. Find yourself and don't be bothered with the scriptures, there are millions. If we gain something, it was there from the beginning. If we lose anything, it is hidden nearby. Look at the ball in the sleeve of my robe. Surely it has great value. You are here. From the very beginning, if there was any beginning, and you will be here, Till the end, if there is any end, to say the truth, there is no beginning, no end. Your being has the quality of eternity. To discover it is to discover the splendor, the majesty, the great joy of being deathless. Another Zen poet, Gayako, has said, "Coming, I don't enter the gate. Going, I don't leave by the door. This very body is the land of tranquil light." When you go out, only the body goes out. Your inner light remains in the same place inside you. Whether you come or go, whether you run or sit, it does not matter. Your inner being remains in the same situation. Another poem runs, "In the utter silence of a temple, a cuckoo's voice alone penetrates the rocks." These are great statements. Just feel for a moment, because these poems are written not to be understood by the mind, but to be felt by the heart like a cool breeze. In the utter silence, and that silence is here, of a temple, a cuckoo's voice alone penetrates the rock. In this silence, you discover your truth, your beauty. Accept this. Anything that is talked about by theologians and religious people is sheer gibberish. We will do it before the meditation. That is a very religious, sacred phenomenon. Manisha has asked, "It seems that there is nothing as uncommon as the so-called common sense. Will the ordinary always be so rare?" It is true, Manisha. Common sense is very rare. Because to be ordinary, the ego prevents you. It wants you to be extraordinary, to be special, to be VVIP. It does not allow you to be ordinary, simple, nobody, a nothingness, which is your real nature. In that ordinariness, in that nobodiness, is your real home. Outside it is only misery, suffering, death, anguish, angst. Settling in your simple innocence, knowing nothing, just being, and you have become an emperor without any empire. No anxiety of the empire at all, just a pure emperor. This pure essence of your being is called the Buddha, the awakened, the enlightened. There is no other dance and no other joy. There is no other poetry. There is no other music which can go higher, deeper, which can be without limits, than the joy of an awakened being. It is your birthright. Before we do our daily meditation, just to clean the temple, with laughter we clean the temple, not with brooms. Pretty young honey, saddle right, is traveling in a train across Texas. A dapper looking man walks up to her and whispers something in her ear, whereupon she gives him a singing slap in the face. A tall Texan seated across the aisle stands up and asks her, "Is this man bothering you, ma'am?" "He certainly is," replies honey. "He just offered me $10 if I would go with him to his sleeping compartment." Without hesitation, the Texan pulls his pistol out and aims it at the man. "My God," cries honey, "that is no reason to kill him." "Lady," says the Texan, "I will shoot any man who tries to raise the price in Texas." Kowalski is beginning to go bald and is willing to do anything to cure it. He hears that there is a witch doctor in the Amazon jungle who has a cure. So he sets off immediately for South America. After a long and arduous journey, through the jungle, he reaches the hairy Amazon tribe and goes straight to consult the witch doctor about his baldness. No problem, says the medicine man. You must go and see Samba Bamba, the biggest Amazon woman in the tribe. All you have to do is spend the night with your head resting between her legs and your problem will be solved. And sure enough, by the time Kovalevsky gets back home, he has a head full of black curly hair. A few days later, Kovalevsky is sitting on the bus behind a man with a shiny bald head, hoping to share his good fortune with the fellow. Kovalevsky taps him on the shoulder, but when the man turns around, Kovalevsky sees that he has a large black curly beard and mustache. Wow, says Kovalevsky, you must be a good friend of Samba Bamba. Ma papaya pineapple says to Ma mango milkshake, I have got a terrible headache. Well, says mango, when I have a headache, my boyfriend soothes all the pain away. First he rubs the back of my neck, and then he rubs my forehead lightly, then he kisses me a little here and a little there, then he strokes me a little here and a little there, and then he excuses me a little here and a little there. Before you know it, no more headache. Why don't you try it? Smiles, papaya, pineapple, I think I will. When does your boyfriend get home? One night in Holland, an utterly drunk Dutch sailor is brought into the hospital totally unconscious. Nurse Holy Nose is given the task of taking care of him until he recovers from the fight he has been in. She begins to wash the blood from his face and notices under his shirt that his body is covered with tattoos. Curious, she can't help but unbutton his shirt a little far. A further pack, naked dancing women cover the sailor's chest completely. More curious, Nurse Holy Nose looks around to see that she is alone, then undoes the sailor's trousers, pulling them down. She is shocked to see that he is really tattooed everywhere. Just then Nurse Cream Limp walks in, obviously flustered. Nurse Holy Nose says in surprise, "Ah, I was just washing this disgusting man. But all these tattoos are too much for me. Could you take over, please? And by the way, be careful. This filthy pervert has even tattooed Adam on his penis. Then Holy Nose walks out. Nurse Cream Limps takes over the job enthusiastically. A little later, the two girls meet in the hallway. How do you get on with that horrible sailor? Asks Holy Nose. Just fine, says Cream Limps. And by the way, she grins, it doesn't say Adam on his prick. It says all the girls love me in Amsterdam. Give the beat and everybody goes religious. Close your eyes, no movement, just be in. Deeper and deeper and deeper, just like an arrow. So that you can find your very center, from where life arises. to make it deeper and more concentrated nibbana, relax, let go, as if you have died. This silence, and you are all Buddhas, no sinner, no saint, just Buddhas. In this silence is your awakening. Keep this silence all the day around, then whatever you do will show the grace, the beauty of your inner peace. Of your inner benediction. Nivedana, come back fresh and new and fragrant. Remembering your Buddhahood, sit down feeling your Buddhahood in every fiber of your being. In this silent temple, even the cuckoo is not singing the song. Even the bamboos are standing silently without making any comments. This silence makes a place holy, a temple. Except this silence, there is no temple. Can we celebrate so many Buddhas together?
Yes.